You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
Welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 210, brought to you by Podcasting with Purpose, helping you to stand out, be heard, and become an influential voice in your industry with a podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. My guest today says there's beauty in having a go. It doesn't have to be perfect. Even a scribble has value. Joining me on today's show is Ella Connolly. Ella is an English and drama student who's been blogging alongside her studies for the last 4 years. And Ella is passionate about encouraging others in their creativity and stepping out of their comfort zone for the kingdom. In her spare time, Ella loves to explore beaches and can often be found with a book in one hand and a cup of tea in the other. Now, on today's show, Ella's going to share Know When to Stop. Her handmade products business reached a point where she had to weigh up if her time and effort could be more effectively used if she invested in other projects. She also wants to talk about being vulnerable. People want to get a real sense of the person behind the blog or the business, as well as the importance of reminding ourselves often of why we started our business or creative projects, and so much more. Welcome to the show, Ella.
Hello.
How are you? I know it's very early for you in the morning. You're from the UK. I'm here in Melbourne. So it's opposite sides of the world, literally.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, I'm really well. I've had my coffee, so I'm functioning.
Excellent. Good. We can't start the day or the podcast without a coffee. And I love, as I was reading through the introduction and everyone heard, there are times in our business, isn't there, in our life and our projects, that we often have to take a step back and really see, is what I'm doing the best use of my time? So I know you're going to dive into that a little bit later, but share with us how you got started with your blog. Was it something that you'd been, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You might have observed, or something that you felt that you wanted to do? How did it all come to pass?
So it was 4 years ago, and I was doing, so in the UK it's A levels. I'm not sure if it's the same in Sydney, but it's basically before you go to uni you do these big exams, and so probably it wasn't the best time to actually start a blog, but I've always loved writing. I've always wanted to write. Normally it's actually creative writing, but I felt that I had a lot of things I wanted to say, and just didn't have a creative platform to do it.
Yes.
I've always loved writing. Yes. Yeah, so I ran like the school magazine when I was 11. And so this was just another way, I suppose, originally to express myself creatively.
Yes.
But then it just grew and became so much more, and quickly became not just about me and my own expression. It became about community. And that's been really fun over the last 4 years.
Yeah, amazing. And when you first started, did you express on that blog about your faith, or did that come later too?
Yeah, so from the off, it's been predominantly a faith blog. Mm. And so I'll write about issues affecting young Christian people.
Yes.
I became a Christian when I was 16, and so quite late into my teenage years. And there was just a lot of things I was struggling with. Mm. And I thought by the time I got to about 19 and I was kind of a lot more secure in my faith and myself, I thought I want to be the person that I probably needed when I first became a Christian when I was 16.
Yes.
And I can be that to people all over the world because of the amazing technology we have access to now. You don't have to be face to face with someone to encourage them, which is exactly what you're doing for your podcast.
Yeah, and speaking to incredible people such as yourself who are also courageous enough to share that, because you never know, and I'm sure that you've gotten some feedback, private emails from people who have read your blog and have, through your words, been encouraged, been inspired. Is that the kind of feedback that you're getting, and what prompts you to continue sharing your message?
Yeah, that's it. That's it, exactly. Getting messages from real people saying that they've read and connected with what I've said, or that, you know, they can relate to what I've shared, is why I do it, really. It's that sense of community, people commenting on my blog posts. Mm. I think if I was just putting stuff out there and there was no fruit, even if I was enjoying it, I don't think I would have lasted 4 years. I think I would have given up a lot sooner if it was just a hobby for myself.
Yes.
But yeah, connecting with people in Australia, in America, has been amazing.
Yeah, well, I would not have found you were it not for you sharing your content, being on Instagram and all the other platforms which I'm sure you use to be able to share that message. And I think one of the key things in that is that so often we've been given a strength, a gift, a talent, and for you it was writing, and it was something that was already being nurtured and fostered in you from a very young age. You said, you know, you were involved in a newsletter from a very young age, and how God can use that to further his kingdom, and how so often we can, men and women, but I think women do this exceptionally well, we often disregard what we can do and how God can use us. Yet if we say yes and step forward, God can take that around the globe, as he has done with your message. Is that something that you kind of pinch yourself every day and think how blessed you are to share your message, and that of course blesses others? Yes,
definitely. And every time I go to share a new blog post, there are sometimes little doubts that creep in, and I think, you know, I look at the numbers, the statistics, and maybe they're not as good that day or that week, and these little doubts start to creep in. I think, is this growing? Is this something I can feasibly continue to do? But as you say, it's such a blessing to be able to share and encourage people around the world, and I love it. I don't want to stop.
Yeah, and you just don't know where God is going to take that message, and there may just be one person who was going to make a decision, however, through reading that blog post, has been encouraged to take it to prayer, to dive into the Bible, sometimes even self-awareness that we're not alone, because how often does the enemy like to separate us and have us feel that we're so alone, no one else is going through this, and therefore there's not hope. And I think through reading it in the words of someone else who has lived that and can share that there is hope through, you know, those struggles, can be what someone needs. I mean, it's a powerful thing. It really is. So congratulations for sure on doing that. Now, something else that you speak into too, and this can be harder to do, easy to understand but harder to do, is when you have got something that you're passionate about, knowing when to stop. And you say that you had a handmade products business and it reached a point where you had to weigh up if your time and effort could be more effectively used if invested in other projects. Take us back to that time. What was happening?
So this was about a year ago. I started making little handmade yarn wall hangings. And it was just a bit of fun. But then friends started asking if I could make them for them. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking, potentially people might want to buy these. I did a craft fair and that went really well. But then I started selling online through Etsy, and probably for the first few months, so up till last Christmas, it was going really well because people were buying gifts. And then as soon as January hit, it just completely dried up.
Yes.
And I'd spent money on yarn and I'd invested time into building the shop. And so it was a really hard thing to admit, probably about three or four months ago, that actually it wasn't working. Yeah. And that's just not fun. It's not a fun thing to have to admit, but really sensible, because it was just before I started my big end projects for my degree, so my dissertation and my final exams and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And so actually it coincided the right timing, but at the time it's not fun. You don't want to admit that something you've tried and really enjoyed doing is no longer working.
Yeah, I think getting to that point is as you said, there are a lot of different things that you go through and emotions and all of that. But I'm sure looking back now, having made that decision and having clarity around that, that experience in itself, I'd imagine, has given you strengths and even wealth and depth of experience that you can now bring into the next phase or the next season of your life and other projects. Would you say that that's a fair statement to say?
Definitely. Just connecting, more experience connecting people online, customer service, and also I think it taught me a lot about something about making something with your hands and then someone else valuing it enough to spend money on not just your product, but also your time that you put into making it, because that's all in the price. That was just a really valuable lesson that I have got something to offer creatively, not just through blogging, but through actually using my hands and creating something beautiful for someone else. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that it turned out that wasn't going to work in the long term, but just in that moment, just someone valuing my product enough to pay for it, and then wait for it to be sent in the post and wrapped up nicely and all those things. It was really fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think every experience that we go through and every project that we're involved in can teach us different skills, different strengths, even if that is being able to discern, well, this project has now run its course, we can close that chapter and then move on. And that's great, because sometimes we hang on to things, don't we? And long, long, long past the time where it should have been closed, that door should have been closed. So that's a great lesson that I'm sure you can continue to impart on others. Now, being vulnerable, I think, you know, that can be difficult too, specifically if you are writing a blog about a personal experience. But as you say, people want to get the real sense of the person behind the blog or the business. And I think too that many people these days are so discerning, and that it's quite easy to see whether someone is telling something that's not quite true, or more importantly, if you try and put on a mask and share, you know, try and say that things are really good, and you don't really go into the learnings and the heartaches and the issues, you're not really helping people get through that issue and problems. And let's face it, there's so many tough decisions and sad situations, particularly for the younger generation, I think, especially with all of the stuff going on in the media and so forth. How has being vulnerable helped you, but also how do you see that helping others? The reason I ask that is because when people are a little bit more courageous and being vulnerable and sharing their story, I think that goes for a long way of healing for people, and just hope and possibility, which a lot of people unfortunately are losing these days. So how has that helped you?
Definitely. I think there is a move towards more transparency on social media and in the blogging world. People often say, oh, you know, social media is just the highlight reel, it's not real. And actually that to some extent that's true, but if there's a brand that is only doing that and putting up this facade, I do believe they won't do as well, because they're not creating a genuine, authentic engagement with their audience and building actual relationships with people. And that's where vulnerability comes in, and storytelling, I think, which is vital as a blogger, but also just on social media, telling stories is less about just posting a nice quote and then just running away, but actually explaining things. Relating them to real world scenarios, situations that I've been in. I think it's just a real powerful thing in that, because you're connecting with another human, they're able to relate to it, and it becomes less, you're just a name on a screen, but you're actually a real person behind the brand.
Yeah, so true.
That definitely, that's what I found. As soon as I started being a little bit more vulnerable, my audience grew. Yeah. And definitely the blog posts where I've shared real things and not just done 10 fun things, you know, to do in the sunshine, which are fun and I love doing posts like that, but the posts where I'm actually talking about real things, they tend to do the best in terms of numbers and engagement.
Yeah. Sometimes before we press publish and we've just shared a story, it can be a little bit like, oh, how is this going to be received? And sometimes we can post something and think, well, that's not really going to land, but I'm going to publish it anyway because, you know, it's something that I want to share. And all of a sudden we can be taken by surprise that people just are engaging with it and they're saying, wow, this really spoke to me. Are there a couple of blog posts or even just one that you have had that you've published it and never realized how much of an impact it would have for people? Can you recall a post?
I had a bit of a miracle turnaround in my job situation recently, after months of job hunting. And I was really torn about whether to share about the fact that I'd just been offered a job for full-time work starting in a few weeks. Because I know people are still waiting for their promise, and I don't want to, I never want to be like things are going really well now.
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah, look at me. But then I realised that if I don't share about the fact that I've got the job, then I'm never going to share about all the months of yes. prayer and pain of really worrying mm-hmm. about how am I going to finance my life next year? How am I going to get a job? You know, I've just done this 3-year degree. I'm in a lot of debt. What are my next steps? And if I don't share about like the highlight now, I won't be able to talk about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I just went for it. I wrote this little Instagram post about my new job opportunity, how that had come about, the story behind it. And it just, I got loads of engagement on it and loads of people saying, actually, I'm waiting for my promise in my career. I'm going into my first job, and being able to have those conversations with people is really good.
Yes. I love that. And you know what that reminds me of is that when we have had a win or something's come through, or even if we're just so grateful for the lesson, even if it's a challenging one, it's the story and the feeling behind that and the learning and the insight that when we can tell our story that way and our journey that way, that is going to be the hope and inspiration for people who are following us. If you look back to the posts that you do, that you are sharing in that way, I'm sure you probably see that those are the ones that people engage with because they can see themselves in your journey and in your story as well, mm-hmm. can't they? But for their personal situations.
Yeah, definitely. I love it when I get messages saying I've experienced the same thing, or I was just feeling that the other day, but I didn't know anyone else felt like that.
Yeah.
I think when I get messages like that, that's why I want to continue blogging and sharing.
Yeah.
Even though there is, you know, sometimes being vulnerable does actually sometimes come at a bit of a cost.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like a bit of a sacrifice to talk about something that I'm, especially when I'm still in the waiting or I'm still in the situation that isn't great, it's a lot easier to talk about things in the past that have now, you know, I've now seen why I've gone through that and you know, I'm in a better place now. But sharing about things when you're in it, that's a lot harder, but sometimes even more powerful because you can connect with other people who are in it, in that waiting or in that difficult season, and create really great connections.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, through sharing that journey along the various stages can also empower others to realize, you know what, need to stay strong, need to, because I'm sure that the focus that you have is whilst you share what you're struggling with, there's always that hope. And there might definitely, I'd imagine, some Bible verses that you refer to and that's what you're hanging on to. And when you think about that, that really is life, isn't it? It is our life. It's our journey. It's what we go through every day, whether it be work, study, family. We can be cruising along and then all of a sudden, bang, something hits us. And as Christians, we know, you know what? No matter what situation is going on, we have a God that's got things under control. We just need to turn to Him. Now, speaking of that, are there and have there been some go-to Bible verses that you think, you know, anytime anything happens, these are one I, you know, or this one is one that I refer to often. Does anything come to mind, or is a whole lot that you really love and remind yourself of? What happens for you?
So there's a verse in Habakkuk, which is such an overlooked book, but I love it. I love Habakkuk. I'm pretty sure it's about 1:6, 1:7. And it talks about Habakkuk saying, the world is a mess. Look at what the world looks like right now. How can I make sense of all this? And God says, actually, look at the nations and watch and be amazed, because I'm going to do something in your days which you wouldn't believe. And that's just, I think that's a promise through every age.
Yes.
And sometimes I completely relate to Habakkuk's feelings of like, what is the world coming to? What are we doing? You know, how are we treating each other? And God's saying, wait, because I'm going to do something that you wouldn't even believe if I told you now, you know, you wouldn't believe me. So just wait and watch.
Yes.
And that's actually a lesson in resting in His promises and watching what He's going to do and not trying to do everything in my own strength and trying to sort everything out, because you can play your part in making the world a better place, but you can't fix everything.
Yes.
And I can encourage maybe a handful of people, but I can't sort out everyone's life problems. That's just not achievable. And I think accepting that makes, there's a freedom in that to then share in a more powerful way to the people who you can reach.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn into that. I'm going to dive into Habakkuk. And that's great. I love that. Because how often when we are distracted by the destruction, which it is, there are news bulletins that I just cannot believe is happening, as you say, mm-hmm. in the world. And we can get distracted by that. And then often the little movements that are going on, the conversations or whatever it is, we can so often bypass that. And we can see that God's moving, and it can be one whisper which turns into two voices, and then so on and so forth. And I think, you know, so often we don't see what's happening in the background. However, to think that, you know, one of your blog posts is tweeted by someone to someone's friend or colleague and then is shared around in that community and has an impact, you just don't know. And I think, you know, from what you're saying today, it's really encouraging to someone who believes that they have a voice and a message that they want to share, but think, how can I possibly do that? And of course, you've done that alongside your full-time studies. Is this something that you're going to continue to do when you start your full-time work that's coming up in a few weeks? And congratulations, yeah. By the way, how exciting.
Thanks. I was at a real crossroads recently in terms of deciding what to do next,
yes.
And whether to continue blogging or not, because my job is going to involve a lot of social media. I'll be on my laptop all day. It's a lot of marketing. And I was just thinking, can I realistically do that for a company and do that for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where my subscription on all my blog things on my website was running out, and I had the decision to either stop or pay for another year subscription. And I just felt God say, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Just wait. So even if I'm not going to be blogging as consistently, I do believe he wants me to keep the website up and running.
Yes.
So that's what I decided to do. I just moved, found a better deal so I can afford to do that. And it's going to be there on the internet, and the Scribbles will still be in existence.
Yes.
But it's just whether how it will work, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that'll come to
pass. Yeah.
You know what? I'm sure that you will have so many incredible lessons, you know, transition from study to full-time work and just, you know, how you approach work and all that. Because I think what happens is so often when you start to get a following, people really admire who you are and what you stand for, even though you may have not set out to do that. There's the you behind that people just really resonate with, and especially the younger people. So I'm sure, because I must say, if I love the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, and the insights. In fact, I probably like the behind-the-scenes better than I like the movies, because you get the real soul of the characters or the, you know, the actors. So, yeah, as you say, you don't know the frequency, but certainly I'm sure there's a lot of journey that you can share along your journey for others who are up and coming. So what was one thing that you remind yourself of often when you think about why you started the blog or even some of the creative projects that you've been involved in? What was that for you?
So a few things. First, you kind of touched on earlier, is this thing of, we talked about how, you know, who would I have wanted to have in my life when I was 16? I love my family, but they're not Christian. So I was looking for the people to kind of guide me, be spiritual parents. And I was really blessed with a handful of people. And I did have that community. But then you look online, and as a young Christian, you're just surrounded by like negativity. And maybe if I'd known where to look, I would have found them. But I couldn't find a lot of young female Christian bloggers. And so I had this weird thing where I was like, okay, I've got this great church community, but then when I'm on my own, I feel quite alone.
Yes.
And I'm really reliant on those people. So there was this thing of like, okay, I want to create this little pocket of the internet, which a lot of people have since done, but this, it just didn't seem to be much of a thing when I was starting. A little pocket of the internet where positivity and encouragement, that's the norm.
Yes.
And that would be great. And then around it, there can be this sea of quite dark things, let's be honest, on the internet. But let's just create this little safe space where young people can talk about faith,
yes.
and can connect with other Christians and yes. can get advice on real issues. And that's my why, I'd say. That's why I started.
You're a change maker. you're a change maker, because, you know, what often, and often you're probably thinking, no, I'm not, but that's, you know, when you see something that you think, I wish that that had been around for me, or where is this? There is nothing that I could find. So you know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to create that community. And I think so often, and I'm glad that, you know, you're sort of guided by that, because how often do we have an idea and then we think, we talk ourselves out of it. Oh, you know, I don't, who am I to think that I can create this? But you just take one step and then another step, another step. And before you know it, you've got this community, this blog that you're creating, this hub of positivity and faith. And you will encourage, and you may not have gotten the feedback, but I know that it is there. Encourage other people to think, well, if she can do that and share her faith and do so in a way that's transparent and open, maybe I can do that too. So it's obviously, you know, you're fanning the flame for other people who are up and coming. And that just continues to grow and build and grow and build. And, you know, and sometimes we never see the impact of that, the full impact, till we get to heaven. And then God's able to say, you know, that blog, that little blog that you created, look at what that has done. And that's when you realize, wow. And sometimes that wow, when we think where it's going to go, scares us too, because it's like, are you serious? And so that's why sometimes I think God keeps us from actually seeing where he's going to take that, because to us it would be overwhelming, but we will one day see that. So share with us how we can get access to your blog. Obviously, as you said, you're not sure on how frequently you're going to be updating it, but it's certainly a way to connect and keep that connected to you and your community. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so you can find me at ellascribbles.co.uk. That's my blog address. I'm on all the social medias, but I think Instagram is where I'm most active. Yes. I post most days. Just a heads up, my surname isn't actually Scribbles. People often ask me really? If that's on my birth certificate. It's not. I'm Ella Connolly. My blog name and Instagram name is Ella Scribbles, and that's how you'll find me.
Oh, fabulous. And I'd love to. Yeah, me too. And of course, I'll put those details on the show notes, which is ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE210. So you hinted that your new role was to do with marketing. And so a lot of the skills that you've learned through your blog and so forth are now going to be used in your new role. Is that kind of what you've been studying for in your degree as well? How's that going to play out for you?
Yeah, I think my blog actually was part of the reason why I got this job. Yes. So my new boss, his daughters actually read to their teenagers, and they read my blog, and they talk to him about me, and they go to my church, and it's a Christian publishing company. And so I will be working with a team who are creating Christian content, which is something I'm clearly very passionate about, because that's what I do.
Yes.
I'm very passionate about media and the written word and how that can really have a real impact on people's lives and journeys. Yes. And now I'll be able to do that as part of my career. It's just a huge blessing. I'm really, really excited to get cracking.
It's just a progression, isn't it? You really can see God's hand from the, you know, from when, I think you said when you were 11, you were the newspaper, involved in a newspaper, now your blog, and that's really support and built the foundations upon which now you're starting your career and all aligned with your passion and, of course, contributing to the kingdom. That's really exciting. One of the things that I do for all of my guests, Ella, is just to close the show with a word of prayer. May I do that for you today?
That'd be great.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Ella today and just to hear how you really have enabled her to use her gift, her strength of writing and storytelling to be able to impact so many lives of people on her blog. Father, we just want to thank you that she has finished her studies, that she is now going into the next season of her life and that she's got full-time work. And we just want to pray that you'll continue to bless her in the work that she does, and especially for the company, Lord, who is also contributing to the kingdom with the content that they're creating and publishing. So we pray for a blessing on the team that she is working with or going to be working with, Lord, and for continued blessing on her personally and, of course, with the blog where it all started, and that she's so impacting and building a community of like-minded Christian young people. Father, we just want to ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Continued blessings with all that you do. And thank you for sharing your message. I know that somewhere someone has been considering, I'm sure, starting something to share their message and not really sure whether that is the right choice or right decision. That, you know, the people who do listen to the show, they know that there's often a calling or a purpose, and that just being able to leverage their strengths to glorify Him and to be that voice and that hope and inspiration for others that lead, you know, them to Christ, I think, is wonderful. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by podcastingwithpurpose.com. Stand out, be heard, influence. Want to influence real change with your own podcast? Access our free podcast training, including no-cost and low-cost tools and podcast production workflow checklist, to get you started at podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training. That's podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training.